And I just point this out as we get started. In verse 1 of chapter 3, he says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, dash." And we went into another subject last week, or however long ago he was there. Now, we turn to chapter 3 and verse 14. It starts with the same way. "For this reason, I kneel." And so, what we had a couple of weeks ago was a big parenthesis talking about the mystery that God had given all the revelation that opened it up all for us. We know the mystery. But the reason goes back to chapter 2 and verses 21 and 22. "And for this reason," what reason? "That in him," verse 21 of chapter 2, "in him," in Christ, "the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple from the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Much of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, is tying these things together. The things being the Gentile nations who are in Christ, individuals in those nations who come to Christ, and then a whole other body of people, the Jewish people, who for centuries and centuries have been at each other's throats. There was animosity, hostility between those two groups. But in Christ, barriers come down. In Christ, God builds together the body so that it can operate with fluidity. It can operate without having to get over the hassles of relationships, of those animosities, the barriers, the dividing walls that the law presented with its commandments back in chapter 2. "And he himself made one new man out of the two." And so this is reason for Paul to say, "For this reason, I bow the knee, I kneel before God, the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name." We're going back to the family. God is the one who brought the family together in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who gives life. He's the one who is honored and glorified through the church. It had a high calling. It had a high calling and purpose to fulfill. And Paul was praying over it again. You join together, you're built together, hold it together. That it relates to the Father. "I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name." In Hebrews chapter 2, it tells us that it's God for whom and through whom everything exists. Think of it just for a moment. I don't know if our imaginations can even wrap around us, our thoughts. I'll ask my parents one time, my mom. I asked her how big is the universe for this day. Of course she knew, but she wouldn't tell me. Do any of us know how big the universe is? Try to measure it. Can't be measured. There's nothing within our wisdom of science and all these things. We can't measure the universe. It's not created. And the Bible says the heavens of heavens cannot contain you. We need everything. And when we pray to the God of the There was a point when a man needed his son healed. And he said something very offensive to Jesus. And he came to Jesus and he said, "If you can, will you heal my son? He was healed." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus said that I can. What? And he healed his son. But he said, God, if you can, will you please, if you can, is it better to discern what the Lord does and is doing than to say, if you can, do my will? Or is it better to say, not my will, but yours to do? God is the Creator. And Paul says, for this reason, I feel it. There is something that he requests. Paul had reached the glorious conclusion here in this passage of including what we call chapters 1, 2, and 3, our will in Christ. So he is wrapping this up for the Ephesian church. You have a tremendous wealth in Christ. God, the Creator, is God, your Father. The Lord Jesus purchased you with his blood. And you have a tremendous power. You have a tremendous relationship. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. You wrote in chapter 1, verse 18. In order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us to believe. Pinnacle of this doxology for God's blessedness that he says in chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies and things. Every spiritual blessing. And so what Paul is wanting to do is he is wanting to pull back the blinders, you know, the horses. It's the pulling a wagon or the stagecoach or whatever, and they have the blinders on, so that they wouldn't see the whole picture of the horizon and get distracted. Well, people have the opposite kind of blinders. They don't see what God is doing or can do. And so Paul is pulling off those blinders and answering their question, so what? We have all these things. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. He goes into detail then, and he applies the glorious riches that are enumerated in chapters 1, 2, and 3. The riches he gives us, every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. I just wanted to touch on something here, because sometimes people get distracted. And I want to put this carefully, because God does care about what we go through, and he does actually care for us physically. But sometimes people think that the blessing of God has to show up in physical things. And if you're not blessed with physical things, then you're missing the blessing of God. The misunderstanding is that they would say, instead of the blessed with every spiritual blessing, we should be blessed with every physical blessing. There are people that walk on campus on this, but God will bless me with everything I need, but if I need a matter, that's probably what I ought to have. And I'm saying this because I personally know people who have way over their heads. Got self-obligated in a financial situation that they could not afford because they believed that God had granted them that blessing. That became a burden to say. But you can just take that out of your mind. He said, what I'd like to remind us of is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. That's only taken to the grave. You want to turn there? I encourage you, I see it in Bible studies, and I would encourage you too. If you have a pen or a highlighter, this is one of those verses that you will somehow get to stand out to you. chapter 4 and verse 19 in Philippians, says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." And you can pray that in a multitude of situations. But my God will supply your need, and he knows what your need is, not necessarily what you want. But my God will supply your need, don't be afraid, according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I'd be tempted to say it, except I'm not good at all. But there's a song that we sang as kids. Maybe you said, "He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth of every mine. He owns the rivers, the rocks, the hills, the sun and stars that shine." Come with me. You know what the song is saying, though. He owns everything, and sometimes people will say, "I have a need of this, but I don't have the money." God, will you sell a cow or two? He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. But what Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 is saying, and he's saying it to people who gave beyond what they could afford to give. You're not going to lack, because my God is able to provide. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and goodness and blessings. However he leads you to give to the Philippians, God will supply all your needs. He will strengthen you. Back to Ephesians chapter 3. These blessings, out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Strengthen you with his power by his Spirit. And as we pray, we also recognize that in 2 Corinthians, chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed in our day." Have a balanced thinking about our health, about our physical well-being. What does the Bible say? You know, as time goes on, physically, we are wasting away. We're not as strong. Elder, 70, as we were 25. We know the things that are taking place, but God supplies our needs. We're being removed spiritually, day by day. Strengthen you with power in your inner being, and spiritual stability is greater than our circumstances. We can get on that topic. If we're in a Bible study, we can probably spend a full hour talking about that he would strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. We can talk about that for an hour. And miss the application of that. Underline, or in your mental notebook, getting out, highlight the next two words. In the NIV, I know that several translations, but I like the way they put it there. So that. For that. There's a reason why he gives us the spiritual power in our inner being, the power of the Spirit. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So that your faith will be built up so strongly that your relationship with Christ is at home. The word dwell, and I puzzled over that for a while, and you can check it out too. it has that meaning of to dwell. To dwell in your heart, it has the meaning of to be at home. To be at home in your heart. That he's comfortable there. He's leading you from inside. And it's kind of like the situation in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And Paul in there. Quite a story. Interesting story. That day, when evening came, it's talking about Jesus and his disciples now. He said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Is there any question about what Jesus intended to do? What did he intend to do? Okay, you're at the Sea of Galilee, Nazareth. And he said, let's go to the other side. No question. That's what he wanted. Okay. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. They were going to sit a little bit. And then, verse 17, as a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. He was at home in the boat. Did it stop the storm? So it's okay. But the reaction was, the disciples woke him up and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? That's kind of like saying, if you can, you know, my son. Teacher, don't you care? And he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm, and he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? You still have no faith. They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey. Jesus was at home in the boat, but they were not necessarily comfortable just because he was in the boat. They had forgotten what he said. I'm going to take you to the other side. You get in your boat, let's go to the other side. The storm came up. We're not going to make it. That was their conclusion, wasn't it? But when Jesus dwells in the boat, when Jesus dwells in your heart, is anything going to interrupt his plan to take you where he wants? I see some of you doing this. I think you're right. Nothing is going to interrupt Jesus' plan as he takes his son to home. Wow. So when we go to bed with a serious illness, we think, God, I don't know if I'm going to see him. And our next phrase is, I don't think of it. Maybe an answer and prayer. Because you are at home in my heart, and you aren't going to let anything interfere with your time for my life. We're at home dictated to what happens. My home and my life. So the power is not to be put on display to attract people to us. And I put that in there because there was a man in Acts chapter 8 by the name of Simon Magus, who saw when Peter laid his hands, when Peter and John had come to Samaria, and there were people who had come to Christ. To baptize, that there was an element that needed to take place, that they would be identified as Gentile or half-breed, if we want to call them that. That's what we call them in Samaria. Jewish and Gentile and other things. But they needed to be part of the church that started in Jerusalem. And so Peter and John came, and Peter laid his hands on people, and they received the Holy Spirit. And Simon Magus was one who had been prideful and bold and boastful. and people thought he was a man from God. And he said, give me this power. I'll give you money if you will give me this power. And not that he wanted it. Because he wanted people to be attracted to him. The power that God gives us by the Spirit is not something to attract people to us, but that we glorify God. And not only that, Christ is going to produce his work in us by the Holy Spirit. Something that is beyond more. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, and high, and deep. That's four dimensions. How long, how high, how wide, how deep this love that surpasses love. But how does that say it? That you would know to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses love. You think the Apostle Paul did it? Yeah, that goes very well. But there's a tension. If we turn over to Philippians, he says in verse 10, I want to know Christ. Paul, oh, you're the apostle. You're the one that's on the inside. You're the one that's telling us. I want you to know, with the implication, I want you to know Christ like I know Christ. Or is it, I want you to know Christ like I am striving. I want you to know the good and the depth and the height and the length. I want you to know everything about may be filled to the full measure or to the measure of the fullness of God. The God's will is permanent. I have some thoughts this morning on the matter of time the bulk copy, the revive, and to read the Bible. And I was reading over this passage this morning. You know what the power is, I believe, in this passage is talking about, is the power to love the Lord. I've been asked by a couple of people in the last couple of weeks. I have an idea of what it means to love others. The second greatest commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. I have an idea of what that means. I don't get the vision. I don't know how to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind. I don't get it. I don't think I do. How do you get it? How do you love? I do that. Holy Spirit gives us power because there is someone, and I mentioned this morning, there is someone who stands against us and doesn't want us to develop that kind of thing that is perfectly comfortable with what God wants to do. But I don't love God so much that I trust him in everything. Holy Spirit gives us power that we can know a love of God, the love of the Lord that surpasses knowledge. It's not something that we're going to read about and say, oh, God, I got it. It's not something that we're going to practice. and we wear out the needs of our riches in prayer, because I'm striving after a love that is not open to wrong. It's the unknown. But I'm comfortable with knowing God and loving God in such a way that a nursing baby will trust me. She is going to meet the needs of the baby. She's going to take care of cleanup. I've seen them safe from sleeping. All the time caring for the baby. Said, I don't know how to love them, are being honest, because we don't naturally have that capacity in us. We don't decide, this afternoon I'm going to sit in the recliner, and I'm going to meditate on loving God. I know what I can do if you sit in the recliner. And you may wake up, thank you God for the rest. This is something we're growing. This is something that Paul is admonishing us to do. And saying, you know what? You have the resource in you, in the Holy Spirit. Because you will be filled to the full measure. God's word will be primary. His word will be powerful and precious and direct. Well, just as Paul did, he prayed for the Ephesians, and that's still one question for God. Just as Paul did, we can be able to go God on behalf of others. God is able to be your strength. In nature, we are. That seems so less. There are superlatives with this verse. And the King James translation captures it a little better than just immeasurably more. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think or imagine. Majorly more, yes, but so much more, able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that we can ask or imagine. Friends, when we're burdened with the needs of others, we have requests for salvation. We can't touch a person's heart. We can't reach them. But God. That's what we need to remember is eternity is at stake. And we can be praying for people because this is God's will. That we can pray that out of His glorious riches, verse 16, He may strengthen them with power through His Spirit in their inner being, so that Christ may dwell in us. If Christ may be dwell in our hearts, be at home in our hearts. And we can pray that they would grasp being rooted and established in love, will have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ that fulfills the love that surpasses the love. The trouble with the God offers what we really yearn for without exception. The holiness, the holiness. Christ's power is working in us. He's given us all that we need. All resources for life and godliness from the knowledge of Christ. Paul turned that the power that he had in Christ to intense prayer to the Ephesians that they would know their spiritual love of Christ. When the church is joined together by the love and power of God, and is built together without the vision of sin, God is glorified in the church. It is the body of Christ. Take the next step. But really, be take time. Meditate on the love of God. Who is this God that loved me so much that he gave his only begotten Son? That if I would put my faith in him, that he died for me, I want prayer to have his command. Our faith is so God that we should be better. Father, we thank you for giving us the demonstrated love in us, that while we're so sinners, Lord, help us to understand that, to grasp it, to live out a life that is that's just abundant with prayer. But it's your will guiding us. It's your word that is precious to us. That you direct us so that we can go to bed each night anticipating our